We good? All right, very good. Welcome, welcome, ladies. I love the fact that you all are introducing yourselves to one another. This is great. You all are here for a reason. You all are here, it could be because of the title. It was a catchy title, Do Not Resist Arrest. You could be somebody who is like battling with trying to do everything and you're wearing so many hats. I almost said like Dr. Seuss, but I don't even think that's biblical. It's not biblical. But you're wearing so many hats and you're trying to do so much. And so we have a broad age range of women that are in here right now. So you could even be in school and you feel like, I'm so stressed. I am so worn out because I have to do A, B, C, and D all the way to X, Y, and Z. And then it's like I'm doing the alphabet all over again. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know what to do. And so what I want to talk to you all about is, it's not, when I'm talking to you, I'm not saying this because I don't have anything else to do. I'm saying this because I want to help you. I want it to be implemented in your lives. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Kenny. Y'all, our pastor is so good looking. You the only one who can clap. You the only one. I'm going to let you slide on that one. No, it's okay. But we do. We get so caught up, and it's like, before you know it, the whole day is gone, and you're laying in bed, and you're like, what did I accomplish? What did I do today? It seems like if I had one more hour in the day, no, if you had one more hour in the day, you would have found something else to do with that 1 hour of the day, okay? So I'm going to read to you all what resisting arrest is, and then at the very end, I'm going to read it again, and you're going to see it in a whole spiritual way, okay? So resisting arrest occurs when a person interferes with a law enforcement officer's attempt to perform a lawful arrest. Some states call the crime obstruction. Some of you already know where I'm going with this. We're going to hit it back at the end. Some of the things that happens when you're resisting arrest: fleeing from the law enforcement officer while being arrested, threatening a police officer or a law enforcement officer, physically struggling to free oneself from being restrained. You see where I'm going to go at the end? Y'all, are you with me? Attacking the law enforcement officer, also known as assault, and providing an officer with false identification. Oh, y'all, this is going to be good, gooder than good. And sometimes we'll do it as self-defense. We'll be like, well, you know what? I have to protect myself, so I am going to defend myself. And by the end of this message, you're going to know that we have a great defender. And there's no reason for you to defend yourself. Amen? Are y'all with me so far? Are y'all excited? Listen, I'm walking around with half a handcuff, okay? So just be here with me. So even God talks about the Sabbath day. He talks about it in the Ten Commandments. He says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, okay? And if you read throughout the scriptures, you will see that whenever there's Jesus and he's healing on the Sabbath day, people have a problem with it, okay? These are the same people who should have recognized who he is, but had a problem with what he was doing on what was supposed to be a day of rest. And so in Exodus, that's actually in Exodus 20, and I'm sure that you all are going to remember this by the end of the day. Exodus 28. Some of you all may have to put it on your phones, on your bathroom mirror. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day before the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. How many of you all have heard the phrase or the saying, I'm not going to rest. The devil doesn't rest. Have you all heard that? Satan's always busy. He doesn't rest. So why should I rest? I'm going to tell you, know my heart, those of you all who may have said that saying, there's also a little religious spirit that goes with it, that you may have been taught that you should always be on the go, you should always be busy. Satan doesn't rest and neither should you rest. Satan is not your role model. Satan is not who we follow. My Bible tells me plenty of times where Jesus had to get away and rest. Okay? Rest, it's not being lazy. Okay? Rest is not being busy. You all have heard me say that word over and over again as an acronym. Busy, the B is for being, the U is under, S is Satan, and Y is yoke. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. Satan doesn't mind if you're busy, busy, busy. He doesn't mind if you're busy doing things for the kingdom. He doesn't mind if you're doing things for people. He wants you so busy and so burned out that you cannot be who God has called you to be. And what happens is you're so busy doing things and you get burned out. Yes. Perfect. Thank you so much. And you get so burned out, and then it's like, oh, I don't want to have to do this anymore. I'm so tired. And now you have anxiety that's creeping in because now you feel like you're not good enough. Now you feel like that you can't measure up to what people want you to do because you're so burned out from doing, 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 going, going, going. You are not the energizer, buddy. You all are daughters of the Most High. Do you understand me? I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I really want you to understand is that there's so many times that it's like, and just raise your hand if I'm talking to you, it's okay. There's many times when we get home from work and we're so tired and we just have to sit and rest. Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about working from rest instead of resting after work. See, when you take that Sabbath, when you take the time to rest, your work comes from that platform, not you resting afterwards. Because when you're doing it afterwards, oh, I'm so tired, let me just sit on the couch and get a pint of Haagen-Dazs. I don't want to hear anybody say my name. That could just be me feeling that way. But when you are working from a place of rest, the productivity and the honor that it gives to God, because that's what Jesus did. That's what he did. He worked from a place of rest. He had to get away to rest. Now, I'm going to get very personal with you all. Is there anyone in here who sometimes you try to hide in the bathroom so that no one in your family will try and talk to you? And I don't mean you sitting on the toilet doing your business. I mean, can I just please have a broom closet where no one calls my name and nobody needs anything? Can I just have a moment to inhale and exhale? Listen, you have got to let people know. And that's called a boundary. You have got to let them know. If I'm not doing well, you're not going to be doing well. If I'm not getting my rest, how am I supposed to be useful to you? And please don't ever think that if you don't get it done, that it's not going to get done. Don't raise your hands. Just breathe if I'm talking about you. How many of you all feel if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it? If I don't do it, it's just not going to get done. Thank you. Thank you. You feel like I have to do it. And I'm going to tell you, I am very big about this because I used to be that. Well, I'll just do it myself. Okay? And then God had to remind me that he is God. And what I had was a God complex. Because what happens if God calls me home tomorrow? What needed to get done is going to get done. It's just somebody else is going to do it. And what if God is trying to get me out of the way so that somebody else can move up and be in a position to do it? Sometimes, it's probably John Maxwell who said this, I'm not sure, that if you have somebody who can do the job 80% as well as you can, allow them to do it. Nobody's going to do it the way that you do it. Nobody's going to solve the problem the way that you do, but at least you're giving them that chance, that option to move up. Otherwise, you're going to be burned out. Well, I got to do this, and 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 I got to do this. And when you keep hearing I, oh, if that does not remind me of Satan. You put it on you, and it becomes prideful. I have to do it. And God is like, hello, I'm right here. I'm right here, okay? So God has to slow you down so that you can contain the capacity for what God has for you. When you're going, you are not within the constraints and the capacity of what God has given for you to do. So let's say if you're in school and God has given you the capacity to do your work, do your homework, and do something extracurricular, but now you feel like you have to do this, this, and this. God hasn't given you the capacity to do that, and you will set yourself up to fail. You know, it's different when somebody is setting you up to fail, but when you're setting yourself up to fail, that's a whole other thing. Self-care, people. I used to think that self-care, you know, because you heard it, and it would be like, oh, self-care, that's wrong. The word joy, it means you're supposed to love Jesus, you're supposed to love others, and you're supposed to love yourself. If I don't love myself, how am I going to love others? If I'm not loving Jesus, how am I going to love others? How am I even going to love myself? So what I get from him, you all get the overflow. Ashley, what you get from him, your spouse and your whole household gets the overflow. Because the thing is, you cannot pour out on empty. I can't give you what I don't have. I cannot help you if I have not helped myself. And sometimes we want to be that person that'll be like, well, I'll go without so that you can have. Now, I'll go without for my little kids when they were little, but I can show you so that you don't have to go without. Like, as far as my household should not have to suffer because you have an emergency. Your emergency isn't everybody's emergency, okay? So anyway, that's a whole other thing. I shouldn't take a day of rest. But when you steward the moments of rest so that you don't miss out on blessings, has anybody ever taken a rest? Or are you here to learn how to take a rest? Have you ever taken a rest and actually, I'm not even being fake, phony, or whatever. Have you ever just looked at the trees? Like, literally, just, like, listen to the birds. Like, just literally, like, just watch people. I know y'all watch people because I do, and I think I know what their jobs are and everything, and I just made up a whole scenario in my head. But it's so restful to just, God created everything that we have for us to marvel at who he is. But what happens when we're so busy that we don't even notice? I'm going to ask you all, those of you all who have work, who go to work in the mornings or when it's daytime, I want you to pay attention where you're driving to. Because you can get so used to driving the same road, going the same way, that you don't notice things around. You don't notice there's a new building. You don't know that there's a building that has been torn down. Because you're so busy, I have to get to point A or point B, because if I don't, somebody's going to mess it up. But just a matter of just sitting and resting in his creation, okay? Resting is the way that we become aware of the power of God within us. Like, hold up, I didn't know I had that in me when all I had to do was just sit and rest in him. Again, resting is not being lazy. Are you all with me? The Bible talks about us not being slothful, but the Bible clearly depicts and clearly shows us on how to rest in him. God has to work in us before he can work through us. How is he going to work through us if we're like, I'm busy, I got to go. Some people find their importance by being so busy. You can ask me, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Oh, I don't have anything to do. Oh, do you want to meet? No, it's my day of rest. I don't have a problem saying that, because how can I model what God does, what Jesus has done? Now, if it's something important, you know, we can talk now. But my thing is, I cannot pour out on empty. No one should be pouring out on empty. Because if I'm pouring out on empty, you're just getting fumes and you're not getting all that you need. I saw something on Facebook. It was actually something that I actually liked. And it said a dead battery cannot jump another dead battery. So if I'm weak, if I'm dry, if I'm on empty, how am I supposed to speak life into you? If that's what I'm doing. Rest is a discipline of trust. Do you all trust the Lord? Thank you. Do you trust the Lord? Yes. Amen, amen. So you all rest, right? You all rest, right? Because rest is a fruit of trusting Him. Because when you are trusting in Him for provision, when you are trusting in Him for whatever it is you need, that rest comes from that. Did you think about that? Rest means, God, I trust you. I trust you to be my provider. I trust you to handle this situation. Okay, I'm going to get personal. I'm just not going to look at Angela. Have you all, those of you all who are married, have you ever gotten into an argument with your spouse and you just went to sleep right afterwards? Okay, I do, right? Because I don't want to talk things through. Because I'm like, let me get some sleep, and I'll wake up in the morning and I literally have to think, oh, were we arguing? Hey, what's going on, baby? Rest for me, that's just me. It drives my husband crazy too. I could be snoring by the time he leaves the room. Because what I know, what I need is my body needs rest. Because if I'm going, and I want to have the last word, and I would just want to go, I want to go, then I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret, something I'm going to have to apologize for. But when I wake up the next morning and I'm rejuvenated, I'm like, baby, I was just tired and I was just hungry. I didn't mean anything that I said. What a big difference. But at the time when you feel like you have to have the last word and you have to go, and you're running on fumes, you're going to be talking out the side of your neck. Listen, I'm trying to help some marriages in here, some current ones and ones that happen. I will tell you, my husband tells me, he goes, I literally watch you like, how can you just sleep? Man, I have good sleep. I have good sleep because I have to know, I have to make sure that I'm in the right mind, that there's clarity in my mind. And when you don't rest, you have confusion in your mind. You have clutter in your mind. You want to know how if you have confusion and clutter in your mind? Look at your desk at work. Look at your kitchen. Look at your house. Do you have confusion? Do you have clutter there? It's because of what's going on in here. That's not even in here, but anyway. Busyness, being so busy all the time, competes with your God awareness. It's like what I'm saying, just sitting in a park, just watching, just looking at things, just looking at God's creation. If you're so busy, God is like, do you see? I created all of this for you. And you're not even looking at my work, at what I've created for you. I mean, what would you do if Anna's walking in with a baby? It's not hers, but Anna's walking in. But what happens when you're a mom and your child has created something for you and you're too busy to notice? What does that do to them? But you know, it crushes. So let's be aware. Let's be conscious of God's creation. Let's be like, wow. Like, let's look at the moon tonight if it does come out. You know, let's just be aware of what He has for us. And I'm going to tell you, some of the people in here, who likes Chick-fil-A? That is the Lord's chicken. Chick-fil-A is definitely the Lord's chicken. When Popeyes came out with their chicken sandwich, that was not of God. Okay? You cannot compete with perfection. Okay? There was no reason for people to be in line for that deep-fried chicken. Okay? So anyway, so Chick-fil-A is number one in the game. They beat McDonald's, but they don't have as many restaurants as McDonald's. They beat Burger King, but they don't have as many buildings as Burger King. They beat Starbucks, but they don't have as many buildings as Starbucks. Why do you think that Chick-fil-A is so successful, not just because they have the Lord's chicken? Thank you. Ma'am, I need 16 Polynesian sauces. It's my pleasure. Ma'am, I've been waiting in line for 3 minutes for my food. I'm so sorry about that. Here's a free cookie. But besides all of those, can I tell you why Chick-fil-A is so successful? They rest. On Sundays, they are closed. They honor God's word. Not only do they honor God's word by resting, but they also give away. They give back to the communities. They give back to the people. That is why they are so good. How many of you all, do you know that if a Chick-fil-A was open on a Sunday, how much business they would get? Do they care? Nope, because they're honoring God's word. They are honoring God's word. And so he will take care of those that honor his word. Amen. Are y'all with me? Y'all want Chick-fil-A now, don't you? I'm going to tell you that this came out of a place for me of resting, of feeling that I was so burned out that I felt like I was in a pressure cooker and I was going to pop. Am I the only one who feels that way? Okay, I don't want you all to feel that way because that's not of God. Because that means that I have not given to God what belongs to him. I'm on burnout mode. And that's not of him. That's not of him. Observing the Sabbath day and keeping it holy is saying, God, I trust you for my provision. Now, I know some of you all, we have some younger people in here who may can pick up a shift to work on a Sunday because they have bills to pay. And I'm not trying to be in your pocketbook. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. But I do know that if it comes to being in the house of God or being fed the word and picking up an extra shift, are you trusting God for your provision? Okay? And that's something that you have to learn young so that as you grow older, it's going to be like, no. I have to go to work. So it's saying, God, I trust you with my provision. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. But God, you don't understand. I got bills to pay. God's like, I'm your provider. So I'm going to tell you all, I want you to write this down. There are four types of rest. There's probably more, but these sum it up, okay? Four types of rest. The first one is spiritual rest. There's something that's bothering you in your spirit. You're super tired. You lay in bed with fresh sheets right out the dryer, and you turn off the lights, and you can't rest. I don't know if you all are like me, but I have that lavender scent from Bath & Body Works that I spray on my sheets and everything to put me to sleep. But when you can't sleep, it's because there's something that's not right in your spirit. There's something that's just not, there's an uneasiness. And God is saying, I need you to see my presence. I need you to know my presence. When your spirit is not at ease. So whenever you get in those situations and it's like, I can't sleep. Please feel God's presence. Please ask him for his presence. There's something, you know, when you were a baby and Anna was in here with a baby can sleep really good in somebody's arms. Whenever you get in that situation again, rest well in his arms, okay? Rest well in his arms. It's saying, God, I recognize that I'm not allowing you to be Lord over this situation. That's what you're basically saying when you can't sleep. When you're thinking about what you have to do tomorrow, what you're thinking about what you have to do the next day. Resisting arrest. The second one is physical rest. If we can't rest one day out of the week, we are taking ourselves way too important. Boo-boo, you're not all that important. I am not all that important that you cannot rest one day out of the week. There is nothing that is going on that you cannot rest that one day out of the week. And sometimes maybe you have to have a 7-day work week. Maybe you're in the hospital field, maybe whatever the case is. But at least to have a portion of that time just to woosah, just to breathe in, breathe out. You know, those get you some of that thieves stuff, whatever that stuff is that smells good. You have to learn how to delegate and how to ask for help. If anybody had need of something in here, this is interactive. If any of you all needed something, raise your hand if you would ask for help. Okay, I have 1, 2 fully raised hands, and 2 is like, well, you know, maybe I would. Maybe I would think that somebody's too busy to help. Us women, we have a hard time asking for help. And it's pride. It is pride when we can't ask somebody else for help, but yet we're doing life with each other. But we can't ask for help. It's like we cannot show ourselves in a way that, listen, I'm weak right now. I need you. I need you. And you know who I'm talking to? I'm talking to you all when I say that. Please don't think that we're that important. Don't allow your identity to be what you do. Some of you all, and you may have heard, some of you all have a lot of degrees. That's great. If I were to ask you what your name is, you would be like, my name is Dr. Thermometer. I have degrees in this, I have degrees in that, I have degrees in that. That's not your identity, okay? That's not your identity. If I can have you, write down on a sheet of paper the letter I for identity, and then the letter R for your role, okay? Your identity should always be a 10. Your identity is who you are in Christ. You're a daughter of the Most High. That's your identity. Your role is a college student, a high school student, a wife, a pastor, a mom, a daughter. That's your role, okay? Your role's not always going to be at a 10. Your identity will always be at a 10. Your identity is not something that should ever be changing who you are. So you may be an overworked, stressed out mom. That's your role. But let's go back to your identity in Him, okay? So let's not stress what's going on over here. Let's remember our identity. And our identity comes from the one that we identify with. And so we have to give to Him what belongs to Him, okay? Remember what I told you all about that. Work from a place of rest instead of resting from your work, okay? The third one, intellectual rest. Those of you all who have FOMO, fear of missing out, your minds can't rest. You think, you think, you think, you think, you think, you think. What are you thinking? Nothing. But you really are. Y'all are thinking all the time. You're thinking of better ways of doing things, of new ways of doing things, of what you need to do, of what that person meant when they said something to you 3 days ago. But God says, and these may or may not be God's words. God says, if you sit your tail down somewhere, I will reveal the strategy to you. Instead of you working so hard to make things happen, if you sit and you rest in Him and you listen. It's this, the thing that I tell people is about with praying. You know how when you're little, you're taught, now I lay thee down to sleep. And then you say what you have to say and you get up. When you come into a relationship with the Lord, after you have prayed, you sit there and you listen to Him. I wouldn't want to be around any one of you all or anybody else if all I had to do was listen to you, but I couldn't say anything. We're not in a relationship. God wants you to listen to what He has to say. He wants you to listen to His revelation, okay? So we need to stop trying so hard to make things happen. And God's like, you say you love me, but you don't trust me. If you trust me, you will rest in me and let me be God. Don't resist arrest. Go to the beach, sit down. The last one is emotional rest. And this actually comes out of 1 Kings 19. You don't have to go there, I will sum it up. But it's really talking about Ahab and Jezebel and Elijah. Now, Elijah, who had killed many prophets with a sword, was scared of a woman. Jezebel sent word to him saying, I'm going to kill you. Okay, I know that we're all saved. If you were going to kill somebody, are you going to send a message? You're just going to do what you have to do. But yet he was still scared. He was scared of a woman. And so after he has killed so many people, that he had to go sit down. He had to go sit down and under a bush, and he fell asleep. And an angel of the Lord touched him and said, get up and eat. How many of you all would love it when the Lord says, get up and eat? He looked around, and there was some bread baked over hot coals in a jar of water. And the angel of the Lord said to him, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up, ate, and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb. And there he went into the cave and spent the night there. I said all that to say that there's times that we have to sit down and listen to the Lord. We have to listen to him. Not what we think he said, not what we're hoping that he says. Sometimes, listen, I know what a Snickers bar can do when you're hungry. I've seen the commercial. I know how you can change once you have some sustenance in you. But you actually need water. You need that. You need that refreshing. You need that refreshing of the water. So I'm going to tell you, you need emotional rest. You need to like lay down. You need to rest in him. I don't care if you play soaking music or whatever it is, but it's a matter of knowing his presence and resting in him. And if you're a leader, if you're leading anyone, if you're leading in the house, if you're leading at home, if you're leading at work, you have to eat twice. And the reason why you have to eat twice is because you're giving out of your overflow. If you're leading somebody, they should be being led out of your overflow. And you have to teach people how to do that. You know, it's like you can't, I don't have a problem saying no, right, Kia? And so I will not allow someone to suck the life out of me. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be leeches, okay? But we will teach you what to do. We will teach you. We will show you. When you're in an airplane, it's like, oh, it's kind of rocky. Oh, we're dipping down. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Boom. And all of a sudden, all these oxygen masks come down, right? And so what do you do? Moms, what do? You want to put it over your child first. What do they tell you? You have to take care of you before you can take care of somebody else. Because what happens when you put it over your child, something happens and you don't make it. Now you got your baby without. You put it on you. Y'all know we can do two things at once too. We could probably go, whoop. Y'all know we would do that. You know, but you have, and it's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay to look at yourself in the mirror, getting out the shower, lumps, bumps, and everything, and be like, God, you did a good thing in me. It's okay to look at yourself and not compare yourself to others. It's okay to look at yourself and see your bags under your eyes. Mine may have Louis Vuitton on them because I'm a Louis person, but that should tell you, you need a rest. If you have those dark circles, if you're stressing, if you have that anxiety, baby, you need a rest. The more God requires of you, the more that you have to eat. God wants you to slow down so that you can sense him, feel him, hear him, trust him, love him, rest in him, follow him, love him, display him. How many of you all have people looking at you, oh, you a Christian? You are burned out. You working like a dog. You don't even smell anymore. People are watching us. They're watching how we respond. They're watching what we do. It is okay for us to rest. Not to be lazy, but it's okay for us to rest. And I'm speaking right now against anybody who is even thinking of a premature death because you're working and you're doing so much. I speak against that right now in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. What time do we have until? 10 minutes. Very good. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So, whose birthday is it? I don't know whose birthday it is. But is there anybody's birthday this month? No one? I can't see because I'm trying to do this at the same time. But it's all right. Kia, happy birthday. Listen, I am going to tell you, there's going to come a point where these candles are going to go out, but I'm not going to blow on them. That way somebody can eat the cake because, you know, we post-COVID. You don't want anybody breathing on anything. That's all I'm going to do. But when you walk in and you see this, and you see this cake with all the different colors on it, what do you think? Rainbow, yes. Happy celebration. When I see this, I see a celebration. And it's exciting, and it like rejuvenates you, and it makes you really happy. I can only wonder what God looks at us, how he looks at us when we're resting. Because Sabbath, resting, is a celebration. It's a celebration of rest. It's a celebration of who he is. God's hands are hands of restoration. Whenever you see in the Bible, when Jesus puts his hands on somebody, he heals them, he has restored them. So we are serving a God of restoration. And so when he sees us resting, resting in him, resting in his presence, he sees a celebration. He sees a celebration. Who wants this cake? Who wants it? Can Sophia have it? Oh. Well, I'm going to need somebody to blow out the candles. Sophia, come blow out these candles. Come on. Come on. Very good. Come on, Sophia. Sophia, come on, blow out the candles, pumpkin. Very good. Sophia. Sophia. Can you blow? So come on. So it's her cake now because there's spit. Keep going. Sophia. It's okay. It's all right. They'll go out on their own eventually, Sophia. Y'all knew I was gonna get trick candles. Do you want to know why? Yeah, they're trick candles. Let me tell you why. Because this is what happens when somebody hears something in church. They'll be like, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to rest. Man. Oh, there's dishes in the sink. Let me go ahead and get up and do them. Oh, who said one on Facebook? Oh, let me get on Facebook. Oh, let me get myself ready, because you all aren't going to do it. You all don't know how to rest. You don't know how to rest. I want you to understand that resting in him is what I'm asking you all to do. Giving your burdens and giving your cares to him. Celebrating that he gives us a chance to rest. Now, I'm going to tell you this, because some of us have been out of the country, and we don't have a lot of Christians that are able to rest. God has put us in a place where we are able to rest and to rest in him. I don't know what we're going to do, because it looks like a fire right now. I have synthetic hair. I can't do this. Lydia, can you handle this for me? Put some water on it or something. There's water right here. Just get her water. Nobody needs to eat that cake. Sure, just don't get it on the carpet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. These things are some serious. It's going to be a wet cake now.
Okay. You want to know what? Let me tell you what's going on while she's doing this, because I cannot let an opportunity go by. One more.
Baby.
Yes. Thank you for that. This wasn't even in the plans. If you don't sit down and rest in him, God will sit you down. And you don't want him to have to sit you down in the hospital because you have high blood pressure, because you're trying to do everything else, because you have sickness in your body. If you don't sit yourself down, God will sit you down. So my prayer for you all is, do not resist a rest. Thank you for that, Cherish. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I mean, not that the Holy Spirit is Cherish, but I thank you for that. And you all, we see that. You see people who worked all their lives, they retire a year later, because they don't know how to rest. Having a job to go to every day is what kept them going, because they don't know how to rest. Let me wrap this up. Resisting arrest occurs when a person interferes with the law enforcement officer's attempt. Let's say the law enforcement officer, let's call him Jesus, but we'll call him the grace enforcement officer because we're not under the law anymore. Trying to perform a lawful arrest, trying to say, Ashley, sit down. Ashley, I need you to rest. Some states call this crime obstruction. God, I need you to remove whatever's between me and you. Just remove it, God, just remove it. That obstruction is rest. Because you don't know how to rest in him and trust him to be your provider, to be there for your provision. And I said some of the ways that people resist arrest, they flee the police officer or law enforcement officer by being arrested. No, no, God, I can't rest. I got to do this. I got to be there. I got to do this over here, and then I got to do this. So they're trying to flee when God is trying to tell them to sit down. Now, you know you feel some heart palpitations going on, but no, I got to do this. I have a deadline for this. I got to make it happen. I got to go. These people need me. I'm the only one who can do it. Threatening a police officer with physical and violence while being arrested. Jesus, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? All of these could just be me, and you all are just witnesses to this. Physically struggling to free oneself from being restrained. You're not feeling good in here. It's like, I feel like I have to go. I feel like I have to do something. I have to do something. You can't move to the left. You can't move to the right. The Lord is trying to restrain you. The Lord is trying to keep you still in his presence. Don't resist arrest. Providing an officer with false identification. Our identity in him. Jesus is trying to get us to rest, to be with him, to spend time with him. He wants to spend time with you, Julia. But no, I'm Dr. Julia. I have to be here. I have to be here. I have to be everywhere. I'm Dr. Degrees. I have to do this for people. I have so many people that I have to take care of. What's going to happen to the kids if I don't do it? That's not your identity. That's your role. Your identity is a daughter of God. Some of the penalties of resisting arrest, incarceration. What's another word for incarceration? Prison, being in bondage, being depressed, being full of anxiety. That's what happens when you resist arrest. Fines. Now, in the natural, you can be fined money. But in the spiritual, you can be fined time. Time with your family. Time with your friends. Time with the Lord. Because you're too busy doing other things. So now you're being fined. One of the things that people on their deathbed, one of the things that they don't ask for is more food, more money. They wish they had more time. Probation. Probation, that's one of the things that can happen when you resist arrest. How would that be in the spiritual with probation? It's him having to sit you down. Maybe not sitting you down, maybe putting you on your back. I said all that to say, and maybe I got a little bit, come on in. Maybe I went a little bit in too much with it. But can I tell you that there is so much freedom? Y'all are going to hear, that's going to be my word probably the rest of my life, is freedom. There is so much freedom in resting. There is so much freedom. And God, I trust you to do this. God, I trust you with this situation. God, I trust you with my family. I trust you with my finances. I can rest in him. And resting in him, there's this assuredness that he has me. And he knows that I trust him. He trusts me. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to tell more people about how good it is and how wonderful it is to rest in him. Don't be so busy that you don't have time for the Lord. Don't be so busy that you don't even look at the grass. Do you ever like just look at blades of grass and like, you weren't here last week? But you know what? God created that. It wasn't for the dogs to poop on. It was for us to see. For to see his beauty. I want you all to see things that are so natural that you look past for so long. And I want you to see God's goodness in it. And after he did all that, he rested. He rested. So my prayer for you all is that you do not resist a rest. You just rest in him. Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your daughters who came in here, Lord, who just needed some type of solution of the busyness and the hurriedness in their life, Lord. I pray that they find rest in you. And I pray that rest doesn't happen once we get to eternity, but we can have it here on earth the way that you've designed us to be. Lord, you showed us how to rest. You showed us how to get away just to be with the Father. And I pray that all the ladies in here, that they have time, that they make time, that they see the purpose of getting away to be with the Father, to rest in you. Not just to rest in you, but to hear what you have to say. We love you. We value you. We want to hear what you have to say, Lord. And even if it's just us walking alone in the garden together, it doesn't matter as long as we're together. Let us all rest in you, Lord. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.